If you have a Bible, it would be good to turn to. We'll do that at the end. Thank you, Alison. It's on the list. If you have a Bible, that would be good. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, there are some at the back of the church on that side there, and there's some on the bookshelves that side there. So if you would like one, go and grab one now. If you have an electronic version, praise God. So, 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you put a finger in that, and then Matthew chapter 1. So, 1 Samuel and Matthew. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord was sorry he had made Saul the king of Israel. One day he said, Samuel, I've rejected Saul, and I refuse to let him be king any longer. Stop feeling sad about him. Put some olive oil in a small container and go visit a man named Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be my king. Samuel answered, if I do that, Saul will find out and have me killed. Take a calf with you, the Lord replied. Tell everyone that you've come to offer it as a sacrifice to me. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice. When I show you which one of his sons I have chosen, pour the olive oil on his head. Samuel did what the Lord told him and went to Bethlehem. The town leaders went to meet him, but they were terribly afraid and said, is this a friendly visit? Why do you think they asked that?
They were a bit scared.
They were a bit scared of what he might do. Yes, it is, Samuel answered. I've come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Get yourselves ready to take part in the sacrifice and come with me. Samuel also invited Jesse and his sons to come to the sacrifice, and he got them ready to take part. When Jesse and his sons arrived, Samuel noticed Jesse's oldest son, Eliab. He has to be the one the Lord has chosen, Samuel said to himself. But the Lord told him, Samuel, don't think Eliab is the one just because he's tall and handsome. He isn't the one I've chosen. People judge others by what they look like, but I judge people by what is in their hearts. Jesse told his son Abinadab to go over to Samuel, but Samuel said, no, the Lord hasn't chosen him. Next, Jesse sent his son Shammah to him, and Samuel said, the Lord hasn't chosen him either. Jesse had all seven of his sons go over to Samuel. Finally, Samuel said, Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these young men. Do you have any more sons? Yes, Jesse answered. My youngest son David is out taking care of the sheep. Send for him, Samuel said. We won't start the ceremony until he gets here. Jesse sent for David. He was a healthy, good-looking boy with a sparkle in his eyes. As soon as David came, the Lord told Samuel, he is the one. Get up and pour the olive oil on his head. Let's turn to Matthew. So Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start reading at verse 18. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man, and he did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us." After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before the baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus. May the Lord open up his word to us today. Help us to have new insights, new understanding as we look at his word together. Amen. So we've been looking at the names of Jesus. And it may be no surprise to know that this week we are going to look at Emmanuel, God with us. And if you don't remember anything else, remember that Emmanuel, God with us, is the heart of the gospel. Who's done any of this? Yes? No? Anybody finished? No? I had the joy, the delight of going Christmas shopping yesterday. And I didn't complain once. Well, maybe a little bit. It's funny, isn't it, when, I don't know if you ever sort of sit and watch people as they're going about. It seems to me that the women, the ladies, are rushing around and they've got their lists and they've got the to-dos and they've got everything else. And you'll see them going through the supermarket or going through the department store. And a few feet behind them, you'll see this very bored-looking bloke, probably carrying a few bags. Because we don't have lists. We don't need them. Because the choice in the Shell garage on Christmas Eve is very limited. Don't deny it, guys. Christmas. It's just kind of normal, isn't it, to see people doing stuff and going about and doing their shopping, doing the mundane stuff, gathering the gifts, piling up the shopping basket, particularly with food shopping, because you know that the supermarket is closed for a whole 24 hours and you don't want to run out of everything. So just in case, we'll stockpile about a month's worth of food. Okay, maybe 6 months' worth of food. But even so, you kind of get the idea that people are doing the mundane, they're doing the ordinary things. But what if, when you were going about doing the ordinary things, something extraordinary happened? I wonder how you'd react. Probably text or phone somebody these days. Maybe take photos. Maybe get your camera phone out and start videoing. Or maybe you just watch and see what happened. Imagine Mary and Joseph. Just ordinary people doing ordinary life. Joseph was a carpenter. Nothing special about that. Just an ordinary man doing an ordinary job in an ordinary town, preparing ordinary furniture or tools or other items for ordinary people. Perhaps he was a bit grumpy sometimes because people wanted things yesterday, and when he made the things that they wanted, they weren't very happy with it, and they wanted something a bit different. And maybe Joseph got a bit grumpy about that. Maybe because the customer wasn't satisfied, he got a bit fed up. And Mary, what about Mary? Was she just an ordinary girl from an ordinary background? She was probably raised to help around the house, to prepare meals, to fetch water from the well, to clean, to mend, and all the other ordinary things that needed to be done. You see, despite the passage that we read, which refers to David, kingship, Mary and Joseph weren't royal. There was no red carpet when Joseph arrived to work in the morning. There was no special treatment for Mary where she was given a helper or a slave to do the tasks that she needed to do. She wasn't one of these people who kind of sat there and said, "Oh, I need a cup of water," and somebody would run off and get her a cup of water. No, if Mary wanted something, she had to go and get it herself. These were very much ordinary people with ordinary lives. Joseph worked with his hands and used various different sorts of tools. And maybe, probably, his hands had got calluses on them. Maybe he'd got splinters in his fingers or marks on his hands where the sword had slipped or the nail had gone into his finger. Mary, an ordinary girl, getting kicked in the ribs sometimes by that baby that was growing inside her. An ordinary girl being woken in the middle of the night because the baby was pressing on her stomach or making her uncomfortable by pushing up on her ribcage. And well, the stretch marks, don't even mention those. But she was a normal girl with the normal things that happened during pregnancy. They were just normal human beings, people like you and me. And yet, something extraordinary happened. God lived with them. So just like us going around our ordinary lives and doing our shopping or Christmas shopping and that sort of thing, if something extraordinary happened, we would perhaps notice that. We would say something about that. We would follow that up. Here we see Mary and Joseph, these ordinary people, and something extremely extraordinary happened in their lives. God came to live with them. And the thing is, if God came to live with those normal, ordinary people, is it wrong to have that dream, to have that idea that maybe, just maybe, God might come and live with me or with you? You see, if Jesus had come with the pomp and the ceremony of the royalty, if Jesus had been born in a royal palace to a prince and a princess or a king and queen, there might still be a story because it was still God's son being born on earth. In fact, let's be honest. If we read the nativity story and Mary and Joseph were royalty and they arrived in Bethlehem and started going around all the inns and do you think it would be, "Oh, sorry, there's no space here"? I imagine that probably the very first one, "Oh, your Royal Highness, of course we've got space for you." But because they were ordinary people, there was no room. There was no space. The problem for Mary and Joseph is they weren't important enough. They were just ordinary people. And there was no room. Christmas is real. It's about a real pregnancy. It's about a real mother and a real child. It's about real anxiety. It's about real courage. But most of all, it's about real hope. See, if Jesus had been born with all the pomp and ceremony, if he had the whole kind of glitzy birth, the royalty, maybe he would be unreachable for people like us. The Bible says in John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became an ordinary human being and lived as such here on earth. Jesus felt the normal things that we feel. He laughed. He cried. He felt hungry. Jesus lived and moved with ordinary people, just like you and I. Let me give you maybe a little kind of idea of how amazing that is. This is not to kind of lessen what Jesus did, but it's just kind of maybe help you find a little bit of a parallel. A couple of weeks ago, Mandy and I went down to Devon, and whilst we were there, we went for a walk along the beach. It was quite surreal, really, because it was called Blackpool Sands, down in Devon. But we were walking along this beach. There was, I don't know, five, six of us, and just walking along, and suddenly somebody said, "Oh, can you see that over there?" And we're like, "What, what?" And because I don't really like wearing my glasses, apart from when I'm driving, I was like, "What? I can't see anything." Anyway, eventually I saw this little head popping up in the water. So we start calling to it, "Oh, can you see it? Can you see it?" And then it would disappear, and then it would reappear a little bit later on, a bit further up the sea. And it's fascinating watching seals. It's something that I quite like to do. And if you've never done it, just maybe stand there. If you see one, just stand there and watch. They'll kind of just disappear and then come back up again. And we watched and waited probably 10, 15 minutes, standing there watching this seal, just doing what seals do. And it was fascinating. It was amazing. In fact, I loved watching that seal. And I could have spent probably even more time stood there on the beach watching it. But the thing is, as much as I was fascinated by that seal, as much as I love watching seals, even though I felt like I'd made a connection with that seal in that moment, do you know what? Even so, I wouldn't want to be a seal. Swimming around in the cold sea is not my idea of fun. No central heating, no warm clothes, just you against the elements. Be no Sky TV, no nice food. Unless, of course, you like fish, which I suppose would be okay. But there'd be no comfortable chair to fall asleep in on a Sunday afternoon. There would just be sea and maybe a few rocks to lay on. So I love seals, but I don't want to be one. Now, silly example, bit of fun. But multiply that up by thousands of times, by millions of times, and imagine what Jesus gave up to be born as an ordinary baby here on earth. What a sacrifice that was. What did Jesus give up? Everything in heaven. Everything living with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. To be born as an ordinary person here on earth. He was God, and he became a man. Jesus was God living with man. So let's think about this name of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. This is where we get a little bit more technical. Just think about those words, God with us. Has anybody seen the film My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Yeah, okay. Let me assure you that this is from the Hebrew and not the Greek. If you've seen the film, you'll know what I mean. Okay, so the name Emmanuel in three parts. First of all, it's got this I am, which means with. So the im part means with. And then we have the new part of Emmanuel, N-U, the new part of Emmanuel, which is a common word that means us. If you want to be really technical, it is the pronominal suffix. I have no idea what that means, even though I looked it up and read it. It still didn't make much sense to me. But basically, it's the bit in front of the word that kind of says who it relates to. Okay, so we've got the first part, which is with, the in part, and then we have the new part, which means us. And then the third part of the name, Emmanuel, is the Hebrew word El, which is an abbreviation of Elohim, which is God. So when you put that together, when you think of Emmanuel, God with us. And we kind of know that, don't we? Hear that at this time of year. God with us. Oh yes, I know about that. I've heard that said. But when you look at the word a bit more closely, the new part, the with part, and again, a bit more technical, it's, I think this is right, it's present continuous. Okay, so it's not past tense. It's not future tense. It's now. So when we read this, it's not God was with us when Jesus was born. It's not God will be with us at some time in the future. It means God with us now. God with us. It did mean that, yes, God was with the people when Jesus was born, because God was Jesus. But it also means that God is with you and with me. And I wonder, what difference would it actually make to us in our lives today if we fully understood that concept? If we fully got the idea, God with us, Emmanuel, now, how would that make us live? I believe it would completely revolutionize the way that we act, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we feel, the way that we love. If we don't fully understand that, I think there is something missing in our lives. And I know God the Father, he's not with us. Jesus the Son, no, he's not with us. He was here, he was born on earth, but he's no longer here. But he promised to send the Holy Spirit, the third and equal part
of the Trinity so that God would be with us. Another example that I hope will help you to understand. Our world has become wireless. Have you noticed that? You have your wireless mouse, your wireless keyboards, wireless hubs. Yes, I know about the wireless mouse, but that's another story, and I'm not going to tell you that just now. But being a bit of a techie, enjoying the technology and stuff, we now have a wireless printer in our house. And it's great because it means that we don't have to have the printer downstairs in the dining room cluttering the place up. It's hidden away upstairs on top of the filing cabinet. The downside is that when you want to print something, you've got to go running upstairs to find it and then come back down again. But like all printers, every now and again it runs out of ink. And that's annoying when you've pressed print downstairs and you've got to go upstairs and then you find that half the page is blank. But anyway, so you get the printer cartridge at an extortionate amount of money from wherever you buy your printer cartridges from. And the easy part is that you can get a pair of scissors and cut the outer packaging. Yeah? Because they're sometimes in these plastic things. And then you get to the cardboard, so you take the cardboard off. And then there's these wonderful foil sealed wrappers, so you get through that with a pair of scissors, usually, in my case. And then you put the new cartridge in the machine, and it clicks and whirs and everything once you close the lid. And then you go back downstairs and you press print, and you hear it doing its thing, and you get back upstairs again, and the paper's blank. And then you spend 10 minutes trying to figure out what's gone wrong. Until you finally take the print cartridge back out of the machine and realise that you forgot to pull the little plastic tab off the ink before you put it in the machine. If we're Christians, if we follow God, then yes, the Holy Spirit is with us. Just like the cartridge is in the machine, it's kind of there. But actually, it doesn't really do anything. You could press print to your heart's content, but until you release the power, until you take that little tab off, it's not going to be effective. It's still a printer, but it's not quite doing what it should do. Maybe if we could get the idea, Emmanuel, God with us. If we could know and understand that the Holy Spirit is a person living in us, enabling us, empowering us, setting us free. If we could release that in our lives, what a revolution that would make. What a difference that would make, not just to our lives, but to the lives of those people that we meet, that we try to witness to. I want to encourage you. Buy some of the Christmas cards that we've produced. Take them home, pray over them, and then be brave enough to go round your street. You don't have to knock on the door. You don't have to have a long conversation with the person who lives next to you or down your street. Just take those cards and allow God to work in you. Pray over them and pray that God will speak to people in your road by you being willing to make a small sacrifice and go and deliver those cards and invite people to our services next Sunday. What a difference that would make if we really knew that God was with us, empowering us, even in a small way like that, that we could see a start to the 10% of real that I believe God has called us to reach. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you sent your Son. We thank you that you were willing to allow him to come and live on this earth. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to leave everything in heaven to be born on this earth. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us now. We thank you that you are truly God with us. Help us to know and understand that in our lives, even today. Amen.